Mark. So Dan started up this sermon series last week, and he went through the first three chapters. We covered a lot of ground, but there was a key theme that showed up in those first few chapters, and it's actually a theme that shows throughout the Gospel of Mark, which is that Jesus has power and authority. And we'll see that more today as well. So the Gospel of Mark, and if you went to any Sunday school classes or know anything in the Bible, you know there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one of them is written to a different audience and written for slightly different purposes. And so they all have their kind of unique flavor. Mark's flavor is that he's writing to the Gentiles. He's writing to a Roman audience. And his key theme is Jesus is God and he has power and authority. And he doesn't mess around with a whole bunch of details sometimes. Luke does a little more, hey, let's get into the details. Matthew does a job of saying, hey, let's connect this to the Old Testament, because Matthew was writing for a Jewish audience. He was saying, let's connect this back, let's connect it to genealogies, let's connect this to prophecy. John had its own thing of really focusing on these really key moments in Jesus' life. But Mark is saying, I want to show you and tell you all these really quick stories of how Jesus has power and authority, how Jesus is God. And so we saw that last week. Mark doesn't start with a genealogy, doesn't even start with a birth story. It's Jesus was baptized, and he's casting out demons, and people are saying, wow, this guy's preaching with power and authority. So Mark starts out with a bang. It's like a really good action movie that always starts out with a really cool action scene. You may not know who the characters are, you may not know who the villain is, but there's explosions, there's really key things happening in that action movie right off the bat. And then maybe they do some explaining afterwards. That's what's happening here. It's right into the action, and Jesus is doing things. So last week we saw that. Jesus casting out demons, healing, and is even creating some enemies. All of a sudden, the teachers of and the Jewish leaders are saying, we need to get this guy. So it's right off the bat with Mark. And so as we go through this gospel, pay attention to that. How we kind of switch from story to story really fast, but each of these stories connects together and has this thread of explaining who Jesus is and what his mission here on earth is about. So pay attention to that as we go through. And some of the sermons we're going through just a chapter. Today we're just looking at one chapter. Sometimes we're looking at more. And you have an opportunity to see all these things together as we go through. So pay attention over the course of the summer as we're going through Mark. Today we're looking at Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, there are a number of parables, which are stories that Jesus uses to illustrate key truths about his message or the kingdom of God. Then we have one key story of Jesus that shows his power and authority. So we're going to track all those together. And some of these parables will seem familiar to you. And one of the things you'll notice about Jesus and his parables is he uses very common things to explain really powerful truths. And so like any good teacher, like any good preacher, Jesus is using examples that people would be familiar with. And so he's using examples from day-to-day life, but he's also using very agricultural examples because that's what people did for a living. So even 150 years ago, most people had something to do with agriculture and farming. We don't have that anymore. Very few people do that anymore. But back then, that was their livelihood. They all knew about that. How crops grow, what's happening with the crops, all that was very intimate for them because that's how they fed themselves. So you'll see today, it's a lot about farming, it's a lot about plants growing and seeds, and this would be commonplace for them. This would be their day-to-day job. And so Jesus is using things that are very common to them to then help them understand his powerful truths about the gospel. So we'll start today, and we'll start with the first one. This is a parable. It's the parable of the sower. So if you've read the Bible or been to church, it's probably something you've heard before. So I want you to think about hearing this for the first time. And so kind of take everything you've heard about it, let's try and move that from your memory, and try and take this as the first time you're hearing it. This is Jesus again teaching. He began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up, since it had no depths of soil. But when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And the other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So Jesus is telling the story, and the way this sower is just throwing seed out, that's a very common way that they would plant their seed. They just kind of throw that out there. And so it's talking about the different ground that it's laying on. And so it's saying the sower's throwing the seed, and the seed's kind of falling on different types of ground. Now, that's all Jesus said at this moment. So I wonder if his initial hearers made any sense of this at all. They're saying, yes, okay, I throw my seed. Yep, some seed goes on different places. That makes sense to me, but I don't know what you mean by that. And we know from the verses that are coming up that the disciples didn't know what Jesus meant by this at all. And so they ask him. And so this is one of the few times in the Bible where we have it recorded that Jesus was explaining what he meant by a parable. A lot of times we have these parables, and we know from other verses, even verses in Mark, where it kind of gives in generalities that Jesus kind of taught his disciples and answered their questions about what he was teaching. So I imagine the disciples being with Jesus, and they're hearing him talk all day, and they're trying to pick up on things, and they're saying, I don't know what you meant by that parable of the sower, the throwing seed. What do you mean by that? And then maybe they ask one of the disciples, hey, you remember that, and ask him later. And I kind of imagine at the end of the day, they eat their dinner, maybe they're relaxing by a fire, and someone says, Jesus, I have a question. What did you mean by that? And so I think that happened all the time, but we have one of those times recorded here where Jesus actually explains what he means by this parable. So that's the very next part. And when he is alone, those around him with the 12 ask him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So here Jesus explains. And he's saying, the sower sows the seed, that's the word, that's the gospel. And the different types of ground represent the different types of hearers and what's going to happen to them. Now again, if you heard this before, most times people use this to say and ask the question, what kind of soil are you? And they'll say, are you the soil with the thorns in it? Are you the good soil? Are you the path? And they'll put it on you in terms of asking you what the soil is for in your life. And while that may be beneficial for you to reveal that by yourself, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Because Jesus isn't saying, let's change the soil. The parable isn't, oh, the sower put it on some bad ground that wasn't really going to yield fruit, and so he did something different about it. That he got the weeder out and he's pulling the thorns, or that he's plowing the field, or he's watering it, or the solution is irrigation. None of that. He's not giving solutions. He's giving an explanation of what's going to happen when he shares the gospel and when others share the gospel after him. So this story is about the person sowing the seed, not necessarily about the soil. So the key lesson for us in this, and this is the message that Jesus was trying to get his disciples to understand, Jesus is saying, I'm going to be spreading the word. I'm going to be sharing my gospel. And I'm going to be sharing it to everyone. just like that sower throwing the seed out. I'm going to be sharing that with everybody. Not everyone is going to understand. Not everyone is going to accept. Not everyone's going to be here for the long term. So Jesus is explaining that to his disciples, having them understand Jesus' ministry, but it's also about our ministry. Understanding that when we sow the seed, when we share the gospel, not everyone's going to get it. And Jesus is saying, that's okay. You are called to share and be sharing the gospel. You're not necessarily responsible for the soil that it lands on. So that's the message for us, and that's the message of Jesus. It's a message of encouragement for us. Too often with evangelism, we're either too concerned over ourselves as the sower, and we say, I'm not qualified enough, other people can do it better, so I'm not going to do it. That there's someone who can throw seed much better than I can, and so I won't do any. And so we think that we need to go through all these classes, that we need to know and memorize every book of apologetics that we can get our hands on, and we think that the problem's with us. I'm not qualified to do that, and so we don't sow the seed. And or we get very, very concerned on where the seed lands. So we're very particular on where we share it, that we want to be 100% sure that it's going to land on the good soil, because otherwise there might be some rejection, or people won't understand, or they won't get it. Maybe what feels awkward. But this is a message of saying you do it anyway. Each one of you is called to be a sower and throw the seed out there. And when that happens, allow God to do the work. That's one of the keys there. So we have more parables I want to get to that build upon this. So we have the parable of the sower that was just explained. And then we get here. This is the next parable that goes along with this. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So we make this connection to the previous parable. So we have a sower throwing out seed, and now we have a lamp that's bearing light. And for us, we're used to things being lit. We have electricity, we flip a switch, and there's light. Back then, it was a little more expensive. You had to buy the oil, a little expensive, and so to light something in the darkness took effort, and took a little bit of money. And so you're not putting that effort and paying for the oil to just waste that by lighting a lamp and putting a basket over it. So in the same way, the gospel, you have it. Let it shine. You have the gospel to share. Don't throw a basket over it. Don't throw that under the bed. Shine it. Just like light is meant to shine in darkness, you're meant to share the gospel. And then it's the example of when you use it and you use it well, you get more. If you don't use it well, it gets taken from you. So if you think about this lamp, so think about maybe a kid during this time, and their parents have a little bit of oil, and the kid says, hey, I want to stay up, I want to read. And the parents say, okay, well, we'll give you a little bit of oil, you can stay up and you can read. Now imagine if they were misusing that and they're playing around with it and they put it under the bed, put it under a basket, thinking that's funny. The parents are going to say, well, you lost that privilege. You don't get that anymore. You don't get any more oil. You just got to go to bed. But imagine if that same kid was reading and was studying and was using it wisely. Maybe the parents say, okay, he's using that or she's using that wisely. Let's give them a little more oil because they're using it wisely. Same thing with God. That's a message for us that we have a light. Don't waste it. Be able to share that. So we have sowing the seed. We have shining the light. And all goes together. I'm going to go to the next one. Again, agricultural parable. And he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He does not know how. The earth produces itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So another example, someone's throwing out seed and things are growing. And just like you and I, none of us, I don't think, are botanists, would understand and be able to talk through all the chemical processes, all the organic compounds that are happening that allows a seed to grow. And of course, back then, they didn't understand that. They put seed in the ground and somehow it grows into something. They don't know how that's happening. They're just sleeping. They're ignorant of everything, but it grows. So same thing for us as we share the word that God is working in ways that we don't know and don't understand. And he's producing fruit. The seed that we threw out there, the gospel that we shared, is being used and is being transformed. People's lives are being changed by that, sometimes unbeknownst to us, that God is working. So in the same way the farmer throws seed out there and all of a sudden things are there and it's growing up. How did that happen? I don't know. In the same way you share the gospel and people's lives are changed and people believe, and it's not because of the work that we did, it's because God's working. And we don't always see that and we don't always understand it, but the harvest is there. So the farmer doesn't know how it happens, but he gets the benefit of that, that he gets to harvest the grain that was there. In the same way, God's working behind the scene. And when things happen, we get to celebrate and be a part of that, even though we don't always understand how God did all of his work behind the scenes there. One more parable. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. So again, another agricultural planting example. You have a mustard seed. And for them, that was the smallest seed that they had. There are other smaller seeds out there. But for their time and for their region, that was the smallest seed. And for a small seed, it made a big kind of bush and plant. So it's very small, and you can kind of see it there. That's like someone's fingertip that it's just resting on. And it grows into this big plant. Jesus is saying, that's what the kingdom is like. So again, you sow the seed, and what the world may see as small, you may see as small, other people may say, that's just a little tiny thing, God grows it. And again, if you use the other parable, God's growing it in ways that we don't quite understand, but it's growing. The small act that we did, the small thing that we did in our lives or did for someone else, all of a sudden turns into something very big. That's what happens in the kingdom. So with all of these, we are the sower. We share the word. We don't always know how that happens, but God's working behind the scenes. And the small things that we do make big benefit, like this mustard seed into a big plant. So the message for us and the application for us for all of these is that we share the gospel. We share the gospel. And that is a command that Jesus had for all of us. So you remember the last part of the Gospel of Matthew, before Jesus is kind of ascending into heaven, he says, all power and authority I give to you. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the command that he has for all of us. So while each one of us may have unique gifts, each one of us may have different callings within the kingdom, each one of us has a calling for evangelism that may look differently in our overall and very specific calling that God has for us, but each one of us have a calling for evangelism. There aren't certain people that we just rely on and say, hey, you're the evangelist, you do all the evangelism, I'm not going to do any. Now, there are people that God has blessed, and they're tremendous evangelists. and we can name some of the names, but each one of us, God has positioned us to also be an evangelist, to also share his message. So we are sowers of the seed. So in that, you throw it out there. Don't worry about where it's going to land. You may share the gospel of Jesus with someone, they're not going to get it. It's not your fault. Jesus did the exact same thing. He shared the gospel, not everyone believed and understood him. You share. You throw the seed, and it's going to land on different types of soil, and that's okay. Now, with someone who's planting, they're going to have a limited supply of seed. We don't have a limited supply of the gospel. We can throw, and we can throw, and we can throw. The gospel is infinite. So we get to do that over and over and over again. So our basket or our bag that has a seed in it is never empty. We always have more. And if we feel like it's empty, we go back to God and say, give me more. Fill me up. So we do that over and over again. So don't be as concerned about what ground it's landing on. The sower doesn't know exactly where it's going to land, but when it lands in the right place, 30, 60, 100-fold. So for them, they don't care. They don't mind if some of it gets thrown in the wrong place. Because when it does land, it's very fruitful. Same thing for us. Not everyone's going to know. Not everyone's going to accept. Not everyone's going to understand. Not everyone's going to be it long term. But when it does hit, there's a lot of fruit there. And so we do that. Same thing with the light. We let our light shine. Sometimes we want to limit that. Sometimes we get a little self-conscious. I'm shining a little too brightly here. I want to put up a blinder here. I want to put myself under a basket. I want to hide in the corner. But you light the lamp to shine. And you want the light to shine into the dark places because that's where it's most needed. Again, that's us sharing the gospel. Understand that the small things that you do can have big impacts. Think about the small things that led you to where you're at with the Lord right now. Maybe that was someone sharing the gospel with you. Maybe that was your parents teaching you as a kid. Maybe that was someone had a word for you. Someone encouraged you. Someone gave you a Bible. Think of all the small things that culminated to where you're at now. Each one of us had these little tiny things, and as we think about it, it may have felt small to the person who did it to us, but it felt big to us because of where we're at. So let's talk about evangelism. A lot of times we really overcomplicate this, and we think that evangelism is, I need to be prepared for this really intense debate, and I need to have all the answers, I need to have all the apologetics, I need to have everything set and ready to go, so when they want to debate me, I'm ready to go. And if you're ending up in a debate, you're probably doing it wrong. Sometimes, and some people need a debate, but that's probably very rare. You do it with your actions. There's a great quote, and they attribute it to St. Francis of Assisi. Scholars debate whether it was really him that said that, but it says, "Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words." Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. So what he's saying by that is you live your life in such a way that you're preaching the gospel. So you do that with how you treat people. Your first step as evangelist is to love people, is to respect, honor, listen to the people around you. That's the first step. Now, I'm going to be a little presumptuous, and I'm going to add to St. Francis of Assisi and say, when necessary, use words. I'm going to change that to, when it's ready, use words. I think words are useful in this, and at some point, words need to be happening, whether that's from you or someone else. You may just be one part of a person's story, but at some point, someone needs to explain who Jesus is in the gospel. It doesn't have to start there. So when it's ready, And when it's time, then you use the words there and explain it. Too often, we always want to start with words and not follow up with any action. We want to be starting with action, and then we use the words to back that up. We start with love, and when people experience that, then we follow up and say, this is the love of the Father. That's what I'm trying to convey to you. We start with service. We start with helping. We say, this is what God has called us to. This is the way that I can show you that God loves you. And again, we don't just do it with the people who we think, oh, they might be really close to being a Christian, so I'll be nice to them. We do that for everybody. Even if it looks like, okay, their soil is the path that isn't going to go anywhere. It doesn't matter. Because we don't know. None of you are farmers. You don't know soil that well. You plant the seed, all right? Let God figure out what soil that is. And maybe that person, maybe that first seed doesn't make it. Maybe God needs to do a little tilling and a few other things in their life. But that's the part that we don't see and we don't always understand that God's working. But we do it. So today, think about ways that you can love other people, that you can be there for people, you can serve them, you can honor them, not in a self-serving way, but in a way that they feel loved and accepted. And then when it's ready, then you use the words. And I know that's difficult. It's very difficult to do. Number one is because we always feel inadequate in that. I don't know if there's anyone who really feels adequate in this, even the people that are really good at evangelism. I don't know if they ever feel like I'm completely adequate at doing this. It's all just an act of faith. So you have to overcome that. And you have to overcome things a little bit awkward. In our culture today, we try and avoid that as much as possible. Any type of awkward conversation, we avoid that. Awkward conversation is okay. And especially now with COVID and we're getting back, like almost every conversation is going to be a little awkward. That's okay. Get over it. All right? Connect with people. That's part of it. So we overcome those. So now I want to share a story that's the last story that we have in the Gospel of Mark in the fourth chapter to show us that we're not alone in this. We're not alone in this process. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to their side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So again, this is part of the overall theme of Mark. Jesus has power and authority. And if it wasn't much that he was casting out demons or he was healing the sick, he's now telling the wind and the waves what to do. And even the disciples, they're afraid. They were afraid before about drowning or what's going to happen to them, their boat's going to sink. And then Jesus calms everything, and they're still afraid, saying, "What type of person is this?" So again, demonstrating power and authority. But for us, as we're sharing the Gospels or trying to live lives that share the Gospel with other people, we're not in it alone. God's with us, and God is powerful in that. That we serve the God that controls even the wind and the waves. So if he can do that, how much more is he going to help you share the Gospel? How much more is he going to be working on the hearts and minds of those people who you desperately want to follow Jesus? He's there. He's powerful. He's doing it. And we get to be part of what he's doing. He invites us into this calling. He invites us into that. And that was Well, we had the Great Commission, go and make disciples. And but Jesus says at the very end of that, but I'm with you to the very end of the age. And it's not just with you that, hey, I'm with you, go ahead and do it. It's I'm with you, and I have all power and authority, and I'm with you. So as you feel inadequate, as you feel like, I don't know if I can do this evangelism stuff, I don't know if I can share with this family member, coworker, friend, neighbor, understand God's with you. An all-powerful and all-loving God is with you. Please rise. Lord, would you send your Holy Spirit here right now? Fill us. Allow us to be overflowing. Lord, you have a mission for each one of us to share your word. Lord, empower us to do that. Allow us to just be sowers of your gospel. Lord, allow us to overcome the awkwardness. Allow us to overcome our fear. Allow us to overcome our feeling of inadequateness. Allow us to just be your vessel of sharing a message of love to the world. Lord, we know that you could do great things, and we trust and have faith and believe in that you're going to do great things through small actions on our part. Empower us to be that people. Empower us to be advancers of your kingdom. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who is powerful and mighty, who has authority. And we get to live under that authority and act in that authority. Allow us to do that. Allow us to harness what you're doing and be a part of it, to be advancing your kingdom. And Lord, as you reveal the people in our lives that you want to connect with, give us your heart, give us your patience, give us your wisdom, give us your discernment as we talk to them, as we share the gospel with them, as we try and love them and care for them and serve them. Lord, it's not easy, but through you we can do it. And always allow us to be praying for these people to meet the Lord. Lord, we ask that just like that parable, that things are being planted and they're grown, and we don't even know how. Lord, we ask the same thing for the people that we care about, that we want to know you, that you do the work behind the scenes. Things that we don't know and can't understand, you're doing the work so the harvest is ready. Lord, I ask that you do that work for the people that people in this room are thinking about right now. Do that work in their lives so that it's fertile ground when we sow that seed to them. So Lord, do that work. And Lord, allow us to always have your eyes and ears as we go through our lives to do more and more of your work in the kingdom. Empower us with that this morning. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like prayer, we'll have people up front who would love to pray for you. Again, this is part of it as well, advancing God's kingdom, overcoming some of these things, understanding more about the Lord. We do that by a community together and having people pray. So anything that you have, that you just want to share with the Lord today, have someone pray for you, and then go in grace and peace and love. Amen.